Got your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians. The second chapter is where we're going to be this morning. First Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 is where we're going to be in the reading of God's Word. I stand in need of your prayers this morning. Just want to be in that place where God can use us and be honored by what's said and done. I'm not much of a preacher, but I like to brag on the lovely name of Jesus. He's been so good to me that if I never got another blessing and I never got another thing from God, I could say I've been blessed. Amen. He's been so good. Brother James, I just can't imagine trying to live this life without the Lord. When folks have loved ones pass and tragedy happens and they go through it without the Lord, I just don't understand it, how they can do that. I have found the Lord to be my comfort and to be my strength in the time of trouble and the time of need. And He's given me a lot of instructions in this blessed old book to follow that's helped me along life's way. For about 37 years now, I've followed His instructions, and it's been a good road. There have been times it's been a little rough. Brother Mark, I found some rough spots that we got to go through sometimes, but I serve a God that said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Even in that rough time, I'm going to go through it with you. You're not alone. And there's times you probably felt like, Lord, where you at? If you'll just look around and listen real close, He's probably closer than He's ever been to you at that time. If you would, let's stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. Here in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, I'm going to read one verse to you. We're going to be jumping around in the Bible today, but this one verse I want to help you with this morning. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God prepared for them that love Him. Let's read that one more time. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of a man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Brother Randy Fansler, would you ask a blessing on this message? Oh, Lord. Jesus, Lord, today. Yes, Lord, You're worthy. Yes, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Let this be the day, Lord. Amen, amen. You can be seated. As I read this chapter and began to study God's Word, I saw where Paul is preaching the gospel with wise counsel for men's salvation and expounding on this place that's called heaven. And it really spoke to my heart this week and has really touched me. They've been a stirring in me all week, and I saw the tragedy that's going on and the suffering that's going on and the wickedness of men and their hearts. And And I got to thinking about what Paul said. He said, if I had hope in this life, I'd be of all men most miserable. If this was it, boy, what a miserable thought that would be. And if this was it, there'd be no reason to even be here this morning. But I come to tell you good news. This ain't it. There's a place where we're headed. I'm going to tell you this morning in just a minute. There's a place over in Isaiah 64, verse 4. The Bible says, since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath their eyes seen God at any time, what He has prepared for him that waiteth for Him. I'm glad since I've come to know the Lord and accept Him as my personal Savior, I've not sat down and just waited, but I've got up and I've begun to work and I begin to fight in the battlefield of the Lord. And I've been waiting for the Lord's call. I'm listening. My ears are in tune. My heart is ready. And it's in tune for that great call that's going to come one day after a while. And this morning, with the help of the Lord, I want to preach on the very subject, heaven. That's what I want to preach about this morning, is heaven. You know why? Because there's a longing in my heart. There's a groaning in my spirit, even right now, trying to bring you this message this morning. When I think about this place that's called heaven, what the Lord has done and how He's there, and He's prepared all things for me, and my heart, my soul, my body, everything in me longs to be with the Lord. I don't know about you this morning. If you don't have a longing, you can before you leave His service today. I want you to know, if you're here lost without God, you're the most important guest in this house today. You're the most important one here today if you're lost. I got good news. There's an open invitation for you. You can come anytime. Don't wait for the invitation. If the Lord knocks on your heart, I'd run out of that. I'd crawl over somebody. I'd walk the pew. I'd get to the altar of God and give Him my heart before it's eternally too late. I'll tell you, before the rain stops outside, the trumpet could sound and we'll be out of here. For the last raindrop hits the hard top. For while it's coming down, we may be going up. Amen. It'll be wonderful when that day comes for the children of God. You may say, where is heaven and who's going? I hope I can explain that to you here this morning. Number one, they've got to be a preparation made for the people of God. And He wrote it down in His Word so good, and I'm going to give it to you this morning. Over in John chapter 14, you might want to write them down. You try to keep up with me if you can, but I'm going to go on and give you exactly what God has given me. Talking about preparations, over here in John chapter 14, I want to read to you what the Bible says here in preparations. This is red letters straight from Jesus' mouth. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. You ever thought about how big that house has to be to have many mansions in it? There's many mansions there. And He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There's preparations that's been made for the children of God. I'm glad He's went away to prepare this place for you and I, because He knew one day after a while we would strip out of this life, either by the physical death, or He's going to call us home one day after a while. But when He got up that third morning over death, hell, and the grave, and He come out of there victorious, He walked a little while there with them and talked with them a little while, and then He ascended up into heaven. Where did He go? He went to prepare that place in heaven for you and I. He's been preparing it for over 2,000 years. Could you imagine what that place looks like? I remember when I used to build homes and do remodeling and things of that nature. We'd work on places and it'd take months and months and months to get it done. And when we finally get it done, it was revealing day. We'd go get the customer and we'd say, come on in. We want to show you all that we've done. And we'd show them the trim work and how good it was finished. And we'd show them the paint and the lights and how everything looked. And we'd ask them, are you satisfied? And they'd say, oh, yes, we're satisfied. One day after a while, the bride's going to come and get us. The bridegroom is going to come and get his bride. And he's going to take us into that place called heaven. And we're going to walk in there one day after a while. And Brother Aaron, he's going to walk up to you and I. And he's going to say, look at this place I prepared just for you. And just for you, y'all going to get to be neighbors over here. Look how good everything's done. Come on into the joys of the Lord. What a time that's going to be for the children of God when we step off on heaven's shore. Eyes have not seen and ears have not heard all the good things that God has prepared for them that love and serve Him. Man, I don't know what that does for you, but that gets me a little excited this morning to know that He's prepared a place like that for you and I. I like what Thomas said. He's done exactly what you and I do. He said, Lord, where are you going? And how can we know the way? He was legitimately asking a question. In human nature, we do the same thing. Where is heaven? Who's going? Am I going? Are we going to be there together? Will I see my loved ones again? Will they know me as I'm known? Will we eat over there? All of your questions are going to be answered when you strip out of this life and take that chains and head out of here. He said we'd have a body like Christ. We'll have the mind of Christ. And we'll know immediately, right then, what Christ knows. And it'll be wonderful when we take that change. Amen. We'll be known as we are known when we get over there. Thomas said, where are you going, Lord? And how can we know the way? And maybe you said the same thing. Maybe people have told you there's many ways to heaven. Maybe people you worked with have told you, hey, there's many ways to heaven. You can go to heaven a whole different way and do other things, give money, believe in other gods, and you'll get to heaven. I'm going to tell you, there's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except through and by me. He's the door to the sheepfold. He's the only way. If you get to this place called heaven, you're going to have to go through the door, which is called Christ. And when He comes knocking, you need to open up and let Him come in. Well, how do I do that, preacher? He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead. He didn't say think about it. He did ponder on it. He said, thou shalt be saved. Amen. That quick. That simple. Just like that. Really? Is it that simple? Can I go to heaven that simply? Is that the simple way I can? That's the only way you're going to go. It's through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way but through Him. He is the only way. I don't know if you've been faced with it in your Christian life, but if you haven't been faced with other religions claiming other gods and other ways to heaven, hold on just for a little while. Pull your britches up just a little. It's about to happen. We're going to have to stand for something in this life. We need to stand for Jesus, because if you won't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. When they come knocking and telling you there's another way, you need to rebuke them and go on and get out of there. Don't listen to that stuff. He said, if an angel came preaching any other gospel, to not receive it. I'm going to tell you this morning, they come preaching anything but other than this word of God to you. And I love the old King James Version 1611. Somebody made a funny about it one time, said, even Paul carried the King James Version. And I laughed real hard about it. You know, and Paul didn't carry the King James Version. But this has passed down through the generations. It's held good for over 400 years and never was changed. It was taken from the original Greek scrolls. And I'll tell you what, if it's good for somebody else and it's good for all these others and they wrote it by the apostles, it's good for me, amen. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to stick to the old path. And when we find it, we're going to walk therein. Is anybody with me this morning? Let's stick to the book that God can use our life and bless our life. If you got some of them other versions, I'll tell you what, fall's coming up and we can get us a big bonfire out here and roast marshmallows over them. I'll tell you what, we don't need to add or take away from the Word of God. If you go over into Revelation chapter 22, you'll read there in verses 18 and 19, he said, "Woe unto them that addeth or taketh away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, for his name shall be taken out of the book of life." Let me tell you this morning, you can't add or take away from the Word of God. You must follow the Word right to the letter, or you'll be guilty of it this morning. This day and time, it ain't popular. It ain't popular. They want all these other version Bibles, and they want to get something that makes them feel good inside. And I can't understand that old English. I can't understand that old Bible. And I got to have me something that speaks my language to me. I'll tell you what, when I got born again, I'll tell you what, he began to speak my language. When I come down to an old-fashioned altar and got right with him, I begin to read the thous and the these and all that, and I realize what this is all about. He began to speak to me and talk to my life and help me in my life. And I'll tell you what, it ain't every time you'll sit down that you'll understand everything that you read. But if you'll pray and ask God to help you understand, he'll give you exactly what you need. Now, that was free this morning, straight from heaven. I don't know how I got off on all them other versions of Bibles, but I get sick of them. You can go down to the bookstore and try to buy a King James Bible. They got 15 racks of all these other kind of Bibles and one little place over here with King James on it. That's all you can find anymore. I'm a King James man. I can't help it. I like to stick to the stuff. I don't want to add or take away from it. Can I hear from you this morning? Y'all looking at me funny. If you look at me funny, I think I'm in your flower bed, and I'm going to get that harder about it. I love to stomp down flowers. I love flowers. But I love to preach the Word of God. I love to tell you the truth this morning. I want to tell you what thus saith the Word of God. So there had to be a preparation here. And Timothy is talking, or Thomas is talking to the Lord, and he's asking this question. He's explained to him that he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. Thank God for the preparation for his people. Number two, not just a preparation, they got to be a revelation. They got to be a revelation of God's Word. If you want to, you can go over to Revelation chapter 21. Let's look at that. Revelation 21. Here comes the revelation from John. Hold on, it's about to get good. I don't know what y'all been through, but I've been through some stuff. And I'm about physically wore down. And I'm getting spiritually wore down. I'm not weary, but I'm getting wore down just a little bit. And I begin to wonder, Lord, when's all this going to come to an end? Lord, when are we eventually going to get out of this mess? Lord, is it going to lighten up any time? Lord, can you help me get just a little bit of a vision? Give me something, Lord, to help me. And then he'll say, well, go on over to Revelation 21. Let me show you what I showed John over there. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, I saw that holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and they, listen, and be their God. I like this part right here. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, for the former things are passed away. There'll be no more pain. It'll all be over with. Amen. It'll all be gone when this time comes. Won't that be good for the children of God when all that is passed away? I'm talking about heaven. I'm talking about heaven this morning and how good that it is. John saw it, and we're going to see it. We've talked about it. We've preached about it. We've sung about it. We've shouted about it. We've done all these things, but one day it's going to become reality. One day when we step off, it'll be reality. I'm going to step from this earth right onto a cloud. I'm going to ride it out, right on out of here. I've seen some clouds this week. We've had some blue sky this week. I mean deep blue sky. And you get a cloud coming through and the sun shining through that cloud, and I mean that's beautiful. And there's times you're like, well, it's like to hug that cloud up. One day I'm going to be a cloud hugger. Not a tree hugger, but a cloud hugger, amen? I was going to get me a bunch of it and pull it right up and say, oh, how good it is to be here. I'm talking about heaven, this place where we're going. I wonder where you're going this morning. Are you headed to this place called heaven? You know there's another place. It's called hell. And it's being prepared for those that have rejected the blood of Jesus Christ. What are you talking about, preacher? That sacrifice that was made on that cross. When we reject that, we turn all of this away. We turn it all away. We say we don't want that. We don't want the happiness of God. We don't want the joy of the Lord. We want eternal torment and hell fire in our life. That's what you're saying. Oh, I don't want that. That's exactly what you're saying this morning. I'm so proud of these two youngins that are coming this morning to be baptized. The Bible says, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. When they come, we ought to open up our arms and say, come on, come to me. Come to me. I love our children here at the church. They're a blessing in my life. I love each and every one of them. They touch me and move me. They make me want to do right and make me want to live for God and make me excited because they're excited and they're excited about what's going on here at the church and they want to be a part of it and I want them a part of it and we should want them a part of it. And when they come down and they give their little hearts to the Lord, it ain't a little thing, but they're rejoicing in heaven over one that has given their life. And we'll say, oh, ain't that good. You ought to see what a celebration is going on in heaven. I'm talking about a place where you and I are going before too long. You that have been born again, but if you haven't been born again, you're not going. Well, I've got my family here, left to right of me. We're all together. We're all happy. Surely we're all going. We're here today. Well, if 9 out of 10 are saved and you're not going. When we stand in judgment one day, the 9 that have accepted Jesus Christ, he'll look right at them and say, well done, thy good and faithful servants, enter into the joys of the Lord. And there you'll stand. Jesus, it's my family. We did everything together, and I want to go with them. He'll say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Would he really do that? Yes, he will. Do y'all realize this morning that God doesn't send anybody to hell? You're doing that right now. You're making that choice right now. I had a whole nother message to go with us, and the Lord just told me to stop. I mean, just told me to stop and said right now, tell them about this place called hell. You know why? Because Jesus preached more on hell than he did heaven. He already told us that our eyes and our ears have not seen or heard, and it's never entered into our hearts. He's got a good surprise ahead for his children. But he said, warn them, tell them. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. If you've not asked Jesus into your heart, hell is going to be your home. I've been praying for this flood and this hurricane, and I've been seeing the devastation and people dying and all that's going on. I'm saying, Lord, please give them an opportunity to get saved. Send somebody to wade the water to tell them how to get saved. There's coming a time when the mercy door will be shut and it'll be over. Just like that. That fast, it'll be over. And you'll wish then, if Brother Gary would just give one more minute of invitation, I'd go. Lord, just one more minute and I'll go, Lord. And he'll say, no, depart from me. What a terrible time that's going to be. As every head is bowed and every eye closed.